Now, all this week on News Talk Breakfast and The Hard Shoulder, we've been hearing from Norway as part of a series where we've been asking, what can Ireland learn from the Norwegians? Now, today, in the final part of the series, we're looking at the role women play in Norwegian society. We're joined in studio by our reporter, Ronan Coveney. And Ronan, tell us more about the role gender equality plays in Norwegian society.
Yes, Paul. Well, according to the World Economic Forum, Norway is the third most gender equal country in the world. So as part of our series looking at the country, we wanted to try and find out what they're doing to get themselves so high up in the rankings. So we began in the capital in Oslo, and I first met with Knut Ofting. Now, he's a senior policy advisor at the Equality Ombudsman in the country, and he explained to us the role government has played in bringing this about.
They have played a very important role in Norway. We have this arrangement when it comes to parental leave, and there we have an period that is exclusively for the father. Yeah, we have 1 year, and actually 15 weeks of this 1 year are mandatory for the father. So if he doesn't take it, it will disappear as a benefit.
So he loses the money?
He loses the money, the family loses the money, and I think his wife will be a little bit angry.
I tell you one thing, a lot of people here are salivating at the very thought of that. Right, so they've strong parental leave. What else do they do well when it comes to gender roles, Ronan?
Yes, indeed, Paul, that's correct. Not only do they have parental leave available, they've also introduced gender quotas to company boards in the country. Now, I met with Alden Haring. He's the party secretary of the Socialist Left in Norway. And he explained to me how this came about and also how they've used it when it comes to government.
So right now there's a law that says that 40% of the board members must be women. And that was both proposed by a conservative minister and was also passed with a majority, including the Conservative Party. So that's, one again, quite mainstream view here in Norway. Also, when it comes to parties, it doesn't say so in law, but it's very common for parties to nominate on the list. You would nominate every second man and woman. Right now we have a woman as a prime minister, as minister of finance, and as minister of foreign affairs. All those from like conservative party or right wing parties. So it's also that's across the political spectrum.
Right, so gender quotas are in place in the boardroom, and they aren't mandatory in politics, but they're used by parties there. But you also met with Irish people over there, Ronan, and they explained the difference that they have seen between Ireland and Norway.
Yes, I met with members of the Manana Héireann Choir. Now, they're a group of Irish women who meet weekly, and some of them have been in Norway for 30 years, while others have been there a little less longer than that. And I asked them, do they think the glass ceiling exists in Norway? So in this clip, you'll hear choir members Liz McNamara and also Nullig McBrien Johansson about their experience in the country.
It exists, but not to the same extent. Absolutely not. It's not expected, for example, that when you have a family that you go home and you work part-time, for example. Most women and the government as well, the state encourages women to work full-time and to be an active part of the workforce, which I think is very, very positive. And you read about it in the newspapers, you hear about it on the radio, and it's quite that positive reinforcement is very important as a woman in the workforce.
That's true, but when I go home to Ireland, I have a lot of friends working there now. I noticed that a lot of the women who are very qualified give up work for many, many years. And I'm like, oh God, I'd never have dreamed of doing that because the opportunities in Norway were such that, well, you go out and work. And I was very glad that it wasn't like I was expected to be at home for another few years. I wouldn't have dreamed of it. Like I have some people in the family that are in Australia and other countries and they're staying at home for several years.
Manana Héireann Choir, I'm just wondering, the devil in me is just wondering, how do you pronounce that in Norwegian? I don't know. Now, that's very, very interesting. So there is a contrast that they feel between here and Norway. Now, one thing that some of the Manana Héireann Choir mentioned to you was about chivalry. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one thing that whenever we were speaking to Irish people over there, choir members and also people living there that they brought up, it was the fact that they missed, would you believe, the chivalry back home here in Ireland. Small things like people holding doors open, lifting heavy items, people just being polite in the supermarket. Here's what some of the choir members thought.
In Dublin, you get off a bus and you say thank you to the driver. Yeah. Like, you do that here, like, what?
Yeah, they're surprised.
And another thing I can't stand, the one about you lot in shops. when they ask if you want a bag or you want your change, this is actually people talking to the cashiers. They don't say please or thank you.
That's
would
sad,
you like? Yeah. Would you like a bag? Yeah, nah. You just would you like a receipt? Yeah, nah. It's please
recognize the person.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, Ronan, we leave it there. Fascinating stuff. Thanks very much for that.